Brothers and sisters, let there be joy in the house today. Let your body be in mind at peace, your heart be at peace, as we talk about God today and share His Word today with goodness and guidance and love and compassion. Let compassion be in your heart today. Learn today, listen today, and if you hear something you didn't know yesterday, thank God for that. And be hungry for more, because God has more. Whatever's going on in your life, He has more. You got good things going on in your life. God put somebody wonderful in your life. He's got more. If He's got more, say, Lord, I want it. And the only way to get it is to get closer to that God. Love Him. So I pray today that you have peace and joy, and you laugh in church today. Enjoy each other as we enjoy church. We invite Jesus into the house. We invite the angels to be a hedge of protection around our home so that we're all safe and just in love. In Jesus' name I pray. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. taught me when I was a young boy starting out playing music. He said, don't say that. How many times have you seen a band that will say, I can't hear you, and they do it louder, I can't hear you. That's just to get you. I said, I never really liked doing that, because if you don't like it, you won't clap, and if you like it, you'll clap. Amen? Yeah. So you don't have to let me hear you. So that was just kind of personal thing I just shared with you.
I can't hear you.
You can hear me. Trust me, she can hear everything. Trust me. I'm a believer. Can you hear that, Greggy?
Yeah.
you're singing. Can you imagine that? Just imagine yourself being on the green or somewhere all by yourself in your backyard, and God starts talking, and it's so beautiful. Even the birds stop singing. Why would they stop singing? Because they want to hear what he has to say. We should all be in that place. Let this song lead us into our sermon this morning. Joanne, bring us into church.
Song was called Near to the Heart of God. What a place to be, amen. And you know, the Bible says that if you're faithful in little, he will bless you. Sometimes we need, God wants to see how faithful we are. We don't have 60 people here today. Are we going to do the same? Are we going to be as strong? And I tell you, he's watching. If we're faithful in what we do, God will reward us. And I don't know about you, but I want to be rewarded by God. Anybody else here today want to hear from God and be rewarded? Then you need to be strong in faith today and understand this is a blessed day. And we're going to have a good day. Stand up and pray with me, church, if you would. I promise I won't make you kneel. Hallelujah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Stay standing. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him in your house. Praise Him in your car. Praise God. That removes all the dust from you. That removes all the anger. If you're praising God, you can't be upset. If you're praising God, you got Him on your heart. Amen. Responsive reading, Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Hallelujah. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of goodness of the Lord. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Just as we hope in you. Boy, I wish that folks that come to church on Sunday would feel the Holy Ghost and God so much, and the healings would begin, and people would say, that's why I got to go to church. But God wants you to come to church for fellowship. He wants you to come to church for love. Great and mighty things aren't going to happen in church on a Sunday, exciting things, unless you allow it to happen, unless you invite them in, and something inside of you changes. And when something inside of you changes, guess what? Something great and mighty happened. You see, it's in your hands. God has put everything in your hands. How many know that to be true? How many? Y'all? Thank you, Lord. He put it in your hands. Come with me today. You've been without water for 4 days. You've been lost in the woods. You've been in the desert. Your car broke down in the middle of nowhere. You need water. You're dying of thirst. Come with me now. Got that water. If you met somebody on the road, somebody in the woods, and they had steak, would you want it? No. Why? What do you need? Why do you need water? To what? To live. So you found somebody else on the next corner, and they had a beautiful suit and tie they wanted to give you. Would that do anything for you?
No.
Why? What do you want? Water. For what? To do what? Hallelujah. Would it matter who gave you that water? Would it matter what race, what nationality? Would it matter to you at all about the person who gave you the water? You need what? To do what? To live. Would it matter if the water came from a river, from a well, from a pond, from a brook? Would it matter where the water came from? You need the water to what? You need water. This water will save your life. When you need a thing, Fred is drinking. I know I made you thirsty. Hell, it made me thirsty too. It didn't matter. It didn't matter who gave you the water. Can I have an amen? It didn't matter what he looked like, what she looked like, what she wore, what she knew, how she knew, whether she was rich or whether she was poor. She gave you water, which gave you what? Life. Hallelujah. You wouldn't notice. No. Jesus, say that name with me. Died on the cross for you. He did it for you. Amen? For you. Did you ask him to do it?
No.
Did anybody think that they earned the right for him to die on that cross for you?
No.
He died for you. For your forgiveness of your sins. All your sins are forgiven because he died on the cross for you. Jesus did it. For who? You. Hallelujah. He says in the Bible, if you love his son, that he will abide in you. Who's got to love the son? You. Jesus on the cross. Who did he do it for? You. Amen. That's what the Bible says. He says to confess him. Anybody, whosoever confesses his name, he will confess your name to his Father in heaven. How many here are whoever's? Whoever's. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bear with me, folks, because I got all these notes in this other Bible. Thank God. Thank God. No, that's hallelujah. It's kind of exciting for me just because I enjoy doing this, just putting it together, and hallelujah. Just thank you. Finally, this is in Philippians 4, and hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything in praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You start meditating, that's 4:8 in Philippians. You start meditating on what Jesus did for you. He did it for you. Can I have an amen? Whosoever. How many whosoevers? I want you all to admit that you're a whosoever. He did it for you. Is Jesus in this building? No, he's inside your heart. He said to you that whoever confesses him, he will confess to the Father. Whoever loves his son, he will abide in you. Jesus did it on the cross for who? Does it matter who tells you that? Does it matter where you go to hear that? Does it matter what I wear when I'm telling you that? Does it matter that I don't wear a big hat? That I don't have beautiful colored robes? That we don't have any incense? Does any of that matter to what Jesus did on that cross? None, right? Nothing. Nothing matters except Jesus on the cross, and you believed him and took him into your heart. Let me tell you something. You might not. Everything else that you need to do is a lie from the lie. If somebody tells you in order to do it and be accepted by Jesus, you must do something else, let me tell you right now, it's a lie. Whoever so believes in the Son shall have eternal life. The Word of God, the Bible says that. How many want to trust the Bible? Amen. Do I need to go to somebody else to talk to God? Why would you think that anybody would? Because God said he's lives inside of me. God is inside of me. The Holy Spirit's inside of me. Why would I need to go to another person to talk to God who's living inside of me now? Amen? Why? The Bible talks about false prophets, talks about things. And now, somebody smarter than me. How many know that there's people smarter than me? Where's my wife in the back? Crazy. Truly, no. Dave said something a long time ago. Somebody who loves you the most and remembers all you've done in your whole life, they can't see you the way you want to be seen. They know who you are, and it's hard sometimes. But I'm telling you that there's people in this world smarter than me. There's a philosopher that can come in here. People educated, John. Go on to college, go on to seminary, and they'll come in here and say, hold on there, young fella. You can't tell these people that they don't have to do anything except love God. You got to tell them that they have to go here, and they have to go to this church, and they have to walk in these rules, or else. Who buys that? I don't buy that, because it says, whosoever loves God, whosoever accepts him, he abides in your heart. Do I have to do anything else? What did I do for him to die on the cross? Nothing. Who saved me? Jesus. Who loved me? Jesus. Who said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit? Jesus. He said he had to go so the Spirit would be in our hearts. Who is the Holy Spirit? God. Does it matter what I wear when I'm telling you? Does it matter where you go to hear this message today? Does it matter what church you go to hear this message? It matters not. I all want you here, amen? That's the hard thing about a pastor. Of course I want you here. But if you walked into any church this morning and they said, Jesus loved you, say, yep. And they say, Jesus lives inside you, yep. And they say, Jesus will hear your prayer, yep. If they start saying, you need to go somewhere else to get it, you say, nope. They say, you have to do A, B, and C in order to receive it. Nope. That's a lie. It's a lie. And I'm telling you, I'm sorry I'm using such a harsh word, but it's a lie. He said he loves you. He did it for you, just like you needed this water for life. How many said you didn't want a new suit? You didn't want any steak? You didn't want lobster? You wanted what? Water. To do what? To live. How many want salvation? How many want to be a part of God's family? Then you need Jesus off the cross, sitting at the right hand of his Father. We don't need to make any rules and regulations. I read this beautiful book, and I talked to Dave. I got this book. I don't even know where I found it, but it was in my bookshelf, and I read it, and it was great. I learned so much about it. He was a pastor from Texas. And then after I read it, I learned that he had passed away about in 2012. And I loved the book right until the end. And he said all this stuff that I had to join this church. And I'm thinking, why did you do that? He knew that you don't have to join a church. You don't have to join a nationality. You don't have to join a religion in order to find God. Amen? God will plant you in a place where you hear about God. And when you hear about God and it's good, and you hear more about God and it's good, you want to be there. Amen? Just like I would tell this man who is smarter than I am, What are you trying to tell me? That I have to tell these people they have rules and regulations that they have to follow other than the cross? Who does that make me? Amen? Who would want to tell you that you have to do other things? And you have to go to a certain place? That's the part that disappointed me. When I got to the end of the book and he said that I needed to join this group, that I needed to be a part of this group, I said, why did you do that? You know better than that. I know this man, this smart man, would say, well, how are you going to keep these people here? How are you going to make them stay here? How are you going to put them, how are you going to lock them up so that they never want to leave here? Put them in bondage, put them in fear. I say, no. Here's the deal. If you know Jesus and you love him, how many love him? If you love him and you know him, you want more of him. The more you taste of Jesus, the more he's blessing your life, the more you're going to want to know who he is. You don't need anybody else to tell you that, because if something you tasted was good, if this water saved your life, you want more of the water. You never want to be without water. You never want to be far from water, because you don't want to die. You want to live. Just the same thing with Jesus. You don't want it. You want more of Jesus. You see, that's the key. That's the whole reason for this Bible, is to bring you into Jesus, to tell you about Jesus. About who? Jesus. That's what this Bible is. And I would tell that man, if you just told him about Jesus, told him about his love, his compassion, and told him that inside this book were nuggets, beautiful gold nuggets, and inside this book were promises and beautiful things in here for you all to look at and search for the Word of God, so that you can be closer to this man who gave you eternal life. Of course I want you all here on a Sunday. I pray for you every week that I want to see you all here, because I want our church to be successful. I want our church to shine. And the only way for it to shine is for all of us in here to be shining together. Amen? Of course I want that. But more than that, I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know God. I want you to know him through this book, not through another man, not through another law, not through another religion. Because there's people out there, how many know, that are telling different things about God? Does anybody know that? Hallelujah. Thank you. Listen to this. This is Colossians 2:8. You want to write this down and read it. Listen to this. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of the principality and power. You are complete with Jesus. You are, let me say that word again, complete. When you're complete, do you need anything else? Then why should I tell you you need something else? I'm sorry. I told you last week that the Word of God, that there's no private interpretation. You can't make it say what you want it to say. In fact, what you need to do is get your mind according to the Word of God, not the Word of God according to your mind. You need to get the Word of God. And if you hear something that's different than you thought you learned 30 years ago, and you realize that it wasn't right, you need to unlearn that and unlearn the truth. that Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way. Anybody that comes to him is called family. And if you're family with God, why would you need somebody else to talk to? Does anybody, when you talk to your daddy, did you have to go through anybody else? No. You went right to him. And that's the truth. That's the truth. And it says that, beware. Beware. Lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. And beware that somebody's going to make you do things that the Bible didn't say you had to do. Beware of that. And never be afraid to question it. Amen? Because the truth is all we need besides water to live is Jesus for everlasting life. Give him praise this morning. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Hear my prayer that you receive this message in Jesus' name. If you would, hear my prayer, O Lord. Thank you. You're going to be fine. That you received that so well today that you hunger to know more. I don't care what you thought yesterday. Jesus is all you need. He calls you family. You just need to love him that way. Understand that in this Bible are things from God for you. Hallelujah. Now, I talked to somebody last week about the word discernment. Anybody ever heard of that word discernment? And we talked about it. And what's the difference between discernment and judgment? Let me tell you, the word judgment just seems to me what's right, what's wrong, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. It's opinion. Ooh, that's a bad word in church, amen? Because your pastor gives his opinion a lot. And I tried to tell you before I do. But the word judgment is opinion. And it's different than the word discernment. Discernment is an inner divine revelation. Discernment is what helps you to know what is and what isn't, what's right and what's wrong. Not what's sin and what's not sin, but what's right and what's wrong. Many, the discernment of knowing when you hear a scam. You know, understand how many know there's scams? People calling you up and saying you can win $10,000 or all these scams. You see, you have discernment to say, you know that's not right. You know that's not going to work. And that's discernment. And there's also, you need the discernment in religions. Because how many know there's many religions out there that aren't teaching about Jesus? They're teaching about themselves to be rich, to have more people, to make more money, to do great and make like they're doing great and mighty things. They're doing nothing for God. They're doing it for themselves. You see, you have to have that discernment. You see, discernment is an inner knowledge. It's a gift from God that you learn the more you know God. It doesn't make you better. It just gives you spiritual knowledge. And that's discernment. You see, judgment is just you censoring something or choosing what is and what's good or what's bad, what's right or what's wrong. And that's the difference. You see, we all have opinions, but it's the discernment. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible is from 1 Kings. And this is, I emailed Marilyn this week on Wednesday. I gave her all the scriptures that I was going to read from today. And I gave her all the scriptures that I read from last week. And then Marilyn emailed me back Thursday morning. She said, Pastor, I gave Dave bulletins last Sunday for this week because they weren't going to be here. So not only does she have last week's scriptures, you're all going to have a whole world of scriptures next week when you get your bulletin. So we're trying. So you want to write down 1 Kings. Thank you, Lord. 3:7. Thank you, Lord. And I'll read some of it. You all heard this story, but this teaches you about the difference between judgment and what's the other word? Discernment. How to discern from right. Have the wisdom, the inner knowledge, the inner God inside of you. And I love this story. It says, now, O Lord my God, Solomon is saying, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. Solomon said, but I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. And he said, therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people. Are you ready? That I may discern between good and evil. Between what? Good and evil. Not right or wrong, not sin and not sin, but between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? This speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given to you, I love this part, and I have also given to you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Hallelujah. He is saying simply because Solomon asked for discernment. He asked for understanding. How am I going to treat these people? How am I going to judge these people? Lord, I need you to give me inner wisdom to see, to understand, and to do what is right. Not to judge them, not to pick winners and losers. Amen. And then one of my granddaughter's favorite stories in the Bible. God, she reads it all the time. She comes every year and she said, Pop, read that to me. Solomon 18, this is 3, starting at 3:16. You want to read this at home, you can write that down. Now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, my lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened that the third day after I had given birth, that this woman also gave birth. And we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was, the dead. But when I examined him in the morning, indeed he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, no, but the living one is my son and the dead one is your son. And the first woman said, no, but the dead one is your son and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. And the king said, the one says, this is my son who lives and your son is dead one. And the other one says, no, but your son is the dead one and my son is the living one. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, oh my lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him. But the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. And all of Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. That's discernment. He knew what to do. He saw through it, and God gave him wisdom. So discernment means wisdom. Discernment means knowledge. And what's the knowledge of? The Word of God. You know right from wrong. How many know? You know right from wrong. I tell you, there's a lot of things on TV today that upset me. This is my opinion I'm giving because it really upsets me. I love sports. Anybody knows me. I am so into sports that it just, and I turn on my sports channels and they're talking about betting. The football games. They got every football game and why you should bet this team and give us your money and give us $500 and we're going to give you $500 back and we're going to make you sure you win. We got all the odds. We know what to tell you. And they have experts on these channels, Greg. I know it's my opinion, but it upsets my heart. They have experts on these channels telling people who to bet on. Not their money, it's your money. The people out there thinking, oh, I know a little bit about baseball. I know a little bit about, oh, I'm going to win big. I'm going to win. And the worst thing to do ever is win the first time you do anything. How many know that? You think you got it mastered. My wife and I love horse racing. Anybody ever watch horse racing on TV? We love it. We love horse racing. And my wife says to me, don't tell me the odds. I don't want to know the odds. Just, she looks at the horses. I'm telling you the truth. She looks 8, 9, 10 horses. She said, I picked those two horses. And yeah, Elaine too, right? And she picks winners. She does. And here's what I'm getting back to. Before each race, there's 12 minutes, Dave, between races. And there's three experts. How many? Three experts on. Experts saying why this horse is going to win. Well, this horse raced last year and raced against these guys and didn't do well. It was a muddy track. And I like this horse. It's moving up in class. And this is why this horse is going to win. And I picked the 5 horse. And the other person picks the 3 horse. The third person picks the 1 horse. My wife picks the 8 horse. Guess which horse wins? The 8 horse. They never mention the horse that won. But if you're watching this and you're thinking, these are experts. Oh my God, these are people, experts. I met a man last year, made me nervous as a wreck. Really, this is the truth, John, the truth. We were at Thanksgiving, watching football and having Thanksgiving. This kid was on his cell phone. And you know what he was doing? Betting during the game. Betting on the first down, betting on the touchdown. But I think this guy's crazy. He was betting on football while we're watching it on his computer phone because they allow it now, and you can do that. And to me, that's the work of the devil. Anything that takes away from you, anything that can steal from you, and you need discernment. You need wisdom. Is it a sin to gamble? No, it's not a sin to gamble. Is it smart? No, it's not smart. But I'm telling you, the difference between the world and God and discernment and judgment, you see? People look at us and talk in the way of sin. We look at the world and talk of the world. We want wisdom. We want wisdom to do what is right. We want you to live a good life. A pastor and the deacons and the elders aren't over you. We're not your overseers. We can't tell you where to go, what to do, what not to do. We just want you to have a good life. We want you to have peace in your life. We want you to have joy in your life. I want you to have strength in the Bible in your life because this Bible is so powerful. The Bible says it cuts like a two-edged sword. Anybody know what a two-edged sword is? It cuts both sides. And it cuts right to the marrow, right to the bone marrow. It cuts so deep. And the Word of God is alive. Alive. It means that it works today as it did yesterday, and it'll work tomorrow. Because it's the truth from God. It never dies. It never fades away. You have to have that discernment to know. Not judgment. You don't want to judge anybody. But you know what's right and what's wrong. Amen? You know that because the wisdom of God is inside you. And you don't judge them because you don't want to get in the way of the world. Because the world judges. But the discernment inside, that wisdom inside you says, I need to walk away from that. I need to keep away from that. That religion's not right. That's something wrong there because I'm not hearing enough Jesus. I'm hearing enough of laws and rules and regulations. I'm hearing a lot of bondage, but I'm not hearing that he died on that cross for me. And he died on that cross for you and for my wife too. He did it for her too. He did it for George Mako too. I just have to tell you the truth, the whole truth. No, I love you. So, discernment is wisdom from God. And the only way to get that wisdom and knowledge is to get in the Word of God. Enjoy the Word of God. Read these stories. That story from Kings is my granddaughter's favorite. She asks me every year to read about those two ladies with the baby, Pop. Because it's powerful and truthful. And Solomon. And how many know that Solomon made many mistakes? He already married a queen from another kingdom, and God said, don't do that, but he did it anyway. He married so many different women and built houses and temples to so many women, which is an abomination to God. So just having that doesn't make you smart, amen? You have to learn it, and you have to live it. So the difference between discernment and judgment, hallelujah, is God. Knowing his word so you can discern between right and wrong, hallelujah. This Bible is for you. It's from Jesus. He loves you. You don't need anybody else to talk to God for you. He's waiting to talk to you. That's the truth. Give him praise. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things in the world today that we can discern are just not good. Not good for us, for our children, for our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This Jesus did it for us. He did it for you. How can you not want to know more about this man who has given you this? A promise for eternal life and all the joys of the world and everything. He just wants you. He just wants you to love him. Hallelujah. As we do this in remembrance of what he did for us on that cross. Once for all. Maestro, if you would. So nice to have Joanne back playing the piano. It fills our church. Thank you, Lord. We pray angels around Brother Sergio today as he goes into New York City. To all the things around him, we pray angels be around him and keep him safe. Him and his friends be blessed today. Feel God's presence today. Know that we're praying for him. Hallelujah. A faithful man. Everybody just loves him, and we're just asking you, God, to protect him on them cars and subways and roads and all those people there. We just ask you to keep him safe and bless him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We pray for those who aren't here this morning, who want to be here. We pray for George and Elaine to be back with us soon. Hallelujah. We pray for Pat. We pray for George. We pray for our brothers and sisters. We ask God to fill this church with believers as we feed them. Just lift everybody up in prayer. Ask God to touch their lives and do it in a way that they can hear from him. Not the noise of the world, but the love of Christ. Give them hope that they didn't have this morning. What a great gift that would be. Thank you, Deacon. He who confesses the name of Jesus to man, God confesses to God. Jesus confesses our name to God the Father. And it's all because of what Jesus did in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive us this morning for any of the iniquities of this week, any words that we might have used, attitudes, doubt, fear, anything we might have done, Lord. Lord, we're just against you. Lord, we ask you to forgive us and cleanse us, Lord, because we want to be ready to receive. Receive your blood, Lord, as you said in the Bible, for the remission of our sins. According to the book of Matthew. Safe, Lord. Our loved ones safe. Put words on our tongue, Lord, that will help them and teach them. You knew our needs already. We probably told you enough times today what we need, what we want, Lord, but we want you to help others too. We want you to bless this church, Lord. Pour it out. Pour your blessings on this church, Lord, to fill this church with believers singing your name and praising your name and reading your word together and being strong together as a family in Christ, Lord. As a pastor, I am humbled that these people came here this morning, Lord. I pray that we fed them together your word and gave them hope and understanding. And that they can discern between right and wrong. And they don't judge, but they discern what is and what isn't in your eyes, Lord. The wisdom from above, the knowledge from above, to be able to walk away from the things that aren't of you and not turn back. Thank Thank you, Lord. Thank you for every single promise, for every single word that gives us hope and gives us compassion for one another. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this family in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Most of all, Father, thank you for your Son. That drink of water that never dries. The living water that we receive to live in eternity with Jesus, in Jesus' name. Be healed this morning, church. Have joy with me. Rejoice together. Hallelujah. Be healed this morning. Understand that we need to be strong and we just need to be faithful. God's ready to do the rest. Give him praise, church. Yeah. Woo. No Bible, no notes. I think we did all right. Called being prepared. I enjoy my Sundays. I work during the week to put it together, and I thank you for asking for certain things, and I thank you for receiving that. I thank you from the bottom of my heart that you received the Word of God here in this Second Congregational Church, and I pray you receive it in a way that you need more, and that you're hungry for more, and you have more questions. And not that I know all the answers, but that you ask me, and we learn together. That you ask me, and we can read together. That you ask me because you want to know, and you're hungry to know. And when we both learn, that we've both gained more. We've gained more with more knowledge and more discernment in the wisdom of God. That's a blessing. And I believe that's worth praying for. Can I have an amen? Thank you, church. Hallelujah. Thank